Kevin and I were talking, and we've had a request to revisit a couple of items. Kevin, give them the cliff notes on Saban's flirtation a few years back with Texas.
Yeah, it actually all started in December of 2012 when the feelers were put out with Texas about a possibility. Texas wasn't happy with Mack Brown at that time, and Delos Dodd was the AD at Texas, and Bill Power was the president. And the Cliff Notes version here is, if you remember Coach Saban, he was getting kind of frustrated with the fact that fans were leaving early at games the week of the Tennessee game that of the 2013 season. He ripped the Alabama fans and the Greek community for not staying. He said, you know, my players play for 60 minutes. You can keep your butt in the seat for 60 minutes. But the real concern happened in the week of the UT Chattanooga game of the 2013 season. I'm gonna read it. Word for word here, when Terry Saban said, you come at a crossroads and the expectations get so great, people get spoiled by success, and there gets to be kind of a lack of appreciation, and we're kind of there now. That sent chills through the Alabama Power community. The leaders of the Crimson Tide Foundation jumped into action, and on December 13th, Coach Saban signed a $6.9 million contract with $700,000 in performance bonuses. And you know, I've said it before, that flirtation came a lot closer than people would ever think. People wonder, well, why would he leave Alabama? Well, you have to remember that first, Mal Moore, who was close friends with, had passed away from cancer in March of that year. Dr. Robert Witt, who was the president who recruited Coach Saban to Alabama, they were very close. Dr. Witt had been promoted from being the president of Alabama to the entire Alabama system. And current AED at that time, Bill Battle, and Coach Saban never had a great working relationship. They butted heads a lot of the time, and he even had a run-in with Terry Saban, which is about the dumbest thing you can do. But I'll give you three quick reasons why Nick Saban stayed at Alabama. Number one was the kick six, which had been his last regular season game of that 2013 season when all this was going on. Saban did not want that to be how he was remembered by Alabama fans. Second was the Tuscaloosa tornado, which happened 2 years earlier. People will never know all the things that Nick and Terry Saban did behind the scenes for that community. And a very special bond was formed between the Saban family and their love for the Tuscaloosa community. But the key factor of why Nick Saban didn't go, and I always believe this, I've been told by many people close to him, is in December 2013, he got his first granddaughter, Amelie Saban. Nicholas and Kelsey Saban's daughter was born, and anybody close to Coach Saban will tell you that was a life-changing event for Coach Saban, and being blessed now with the most gorgeous granddaughter in the world, and Tatum Hagen, I can tell you having a granddaughter is a life-changing event, Bill.
Another note before we get on to the field. Somebody tweeted me yesterday during the show and said, would Alabama consider, whenever the day is that Nick steps aside, would they consider Lane Kiffin? And you and I have talked. You said you would address that.
Yeah, you know, if you'd asked me that question a year ago, or if you'd have asked me that question probably even 6 months ago, I think I would have said no way, certainly with the current athletic director at Alabama. But I'm now hearing, and I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I'm now hearing with the way that the culture is today that that door is no longer completely slammed, that if he continues, because as you mentioned yesterday, there are reports that off the field he's gotten his act together in his personal life, and if that's true, and if he continues to excel as a coach, then whenever that opening becomes available, I've been told that he will be a viable candidate for that job.
And Lane's exit at Alabama right after the Washington game was a very poor ending, which kind of soured everything for a while, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know that old saying, time heals all wounds, and I'm told that that's the case. But I think a lot of it has to do with the reports, the fact, and I certainly hope that they're true, that Lane Kiffin has begun to get his act together off the field. No one's ever questioned his coaching ability. You know, it's just been the off-the-field issues, and that was certainly the case at Alabama. But okay. I have been told that the door is certainly not completely – it's not slammed and locked.
Maybe under the title of conspiracy theory, but what the heck, I'll try. Nick is complaining, he was on his radio show last night, and it's in some of the papers today, about the rules, which have been in place, stating that you cannot be part of the team during your quarantine during a game, meaning when the game's being played. Obviously, you can at practice. You can be by way of video conferencing and all that during practice and meetings and everything else. But during a game, 90 minutes beforehand, when the refs take jurisdiction to the final, you cannot be involved at all. You cannot be sending signals, messages, texts, anything. You cannot be involved. You can just watch like an innocent bystander. He's complaining about it. You think today being Friday, and Friday is a result, a test results day, you think he's angling for something? Is there any angle where he actually is there, you think?
Well, I've been told, and I'm preparing myself, the team's preparing themselves for Steve Sarkisian to be the interim coach on Saturday. But I've been told that there's the rule that the president's passed, that if you have a positive but then you have three negatives, that you it can be kind of ruled as a false positive. I've been told that there is a possibility that Coach Saban has other testing opportunities, and it is not a complete done deal that he will not be on the sidelines Saturday night as the Alabama coach. But, and I put this in all capitals, I would not assume that to be the case. I Alabama fans need to prepare themselves, in my opinion, for Steve Sarkisian being the first interim coach on the sidelines for Alabama since Joe Kines was the coach for the Independence Bowl at the conclusion of the 2006 season.
Kevin Hagan with us talking Alabama, Georgia, Saturday night. Huge game. Not the end all, but a huge game for the moment. Your thoughts on the keys to that matchup?
Yeah, a huge game. I'm like everybody else. I think this is round one. I think we see a rematch in December at the SEC Championship game. On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, one of my first concerns is ironic. If we'd have done this segment on Tuesday, my first offensive concern would have said is for Coach Saban to leave Steve Sarkisian alone and allow him to run the offense. Well, if Steve's the interim head coach, that's not going to be a problem. You can check that box. Alabama, they just need to win first down and avoid third and longs. I have a lot of confidence in this Alabama offensive line, particularly in pass protection. That's what they're best at, and I think that they're going to be able to keep Mac on his feet. But when Mac feels pressure, he's going to have to be patient, and Mac does a good job. He's not fleet of foot, but Mac's not afraid to take a hit, and I expect him to stand in there to the last moment and deliver the football. And the other thing on the offensive side of the ball, I would love for Alabama to come out and score first, kind of get off to a fast start and control the tempo of the game. Steve Sarkisian obviously wants a quicker tempo in the game than Georgia wants. And then I've harped on this over and over, Bill. No stupid penalties. We can't have those stupid false start penalties. We don't need to give the Georgia defense an extra 5 or 10 yards. And then the other thing to watch for, Alabama has had so much success in the offensive side of the ball with yards after the catch from those talented Alabama receivers. I don't think we're going to see that against the Georgia secondary, but I still think Alabama's offense, on the offensive side of the ball, I think Mac's going to be able to move the ball. On defense, wow, where do we start? What a disgraceful performance in Oxford. They've got to simplify the defense this week. I've told the story on this show several times before. They're in the Mississippi State game in Starkville in 2017. Alabama would not have won that national championship if it wasn't for the fact that Jeremy Pruitt at halftime went to Nick Saban and said, I am simplifying the defense, or we're not getting out of here with a win. Tackle, tackle, tackle. That's the thing that really disgusted me about the Ole Miss game. It wasn't the yards. You mentioned, I said last Friday, I told you the Ole Miss was going to put up yards. They were going to put up points. We didn't think they'd put up 600 yards. But I was really disgusted with the missed tackles. I've heard the figure 31 missed tackles thrown around. There's got to be eye discipline, and the communication on the field with the defensive group has got to improve, and that's going to be a real problem in the secondary. Jordan Battle, in my opinion, is the last person that we could afford to lose in the secondary. He'll be sitting out the first half for a targeting penalty. It was a good call. It was a stupid move by Jordan Battle, and I'm not second-guessing that call at all. What I'm really watching for, Bill, on defense are two things. Number one, they've got to get off the field on third down. I know I've said this for 3 weeks in a row. Alabama is dead last in the nation on getting off the field on third down. They're 3 for 34, and that's so disgusting it's really pathetic to even have to bring up. But the Alabama defensive line has absolutely got to find a way to get off blocks and get themselves into gaps to help to try to – they're not going to stop that Georgia running game, but they've got to slow it down. And if that defensive line cannot get off their blocks, it's going to be a real long day for the Alabama defense.
Want to revisit something, since that seems to be a theme here today. How hard did Nick try and bring in a different defensive coordinator during the non-blank portion of the season?
I don't think really hard. I don't.
Yeah.
I think he was and we all know it's been documented that, you know, Coach Golding had a lot of, you know, some personal issues at home that he had to deal with last year. I'm sure that impacted his job. But I've asked that question and had that discussion with several great contacts deep in the program, and the consensus kind of is that it really he was pretty happy to bring Pete Golding back as defensive coordinator. But let's be honest, and listen, I am no Pete Golding fan, okay? This is on Coach Saban. And, you know, he brought Lane Kiffin in to help modernize that Alabama offense when he realized that those type of speed fastball spread offenses were so hard to stop himself. He decided, I want one of those. So he had the offensive side of the ball evolve. He's a defensive coach, and the reality is, Bill, why he did that for the offense, he's refused to do that for the defense. He's been stubborn. He continues to run that Dick LeBeau 3-4 defense, which, you know, our players laugh when they get to the NFL. They say NFL defenses are so much easier. Our defense is so complex. It's a great defense if you have a lot of old, experienced, talented, you know, guys that can run that defense. But in college, you have the quick turnover. The reality is, Bill, Coach Saban has to evolve on the defensive side of the ball. The rules of the game have changed college football. I don't like it. I don't like all, you know, I don't like all this, you know, 50, 60-point games. But the reality is the rules have changed college football. They've changed what offenses are allowed to do. And it's imperative that he realize that. And our defense moving forward has to evolve. It's not, you know, like I said, I'm no Pete Golding person, but all four defensive coordinators that he's had have all suffered from this at some point because of the lack of evolution of his defense.
I'll let you go on this, and this is just a Twitter item, but the tweets about just elevate Charlie Strong, give him the defense, is that a consideration that would ever happen?
I don't think so, because Charlie Strong's still getting a real big, nice severance from the University of South Florida, and I think he's content to work as an analyst for Alabama right now, and I would be very shocked to see an in-season change at the defensive coordinator position just because of the result of poor play on the field. I would be surprised. There would have to be a real crash and burn. And I know a lot of Alabama fans are saying, wasn't that the description of last Saturday night? Yeah, it was pretty horrible. But I would be very surprised if we see a change in-season, Bill.
One more. I lied to you. Here's one more. Coach Marshall.
That's fine.
Ask Kevin how good Najee Harris is compared to Derrick Henry.
Wow, that's a great question. It's hard to compare anybody to Derrick Henry because he's such a freak of nature. We all saw the stiff arm that he had in the last Titans game. That was hilarious. Their Alabama players said that happened in practice all the time. You know, some different body styles. Najee has improved so much. He's matured so much. He's gotten faster. He's picked up speed in the Whip Cleanish program. One of the things that Najee has really improved on, and it's because he's finally bought into it, and it's going to be a huge part of the game tomorrow in the passing game, is his pass protection has really improved. When he was a freshman, he didn't think that was a part of his job description, but he's taken ownership of that, and that's going to be huge on Saturday. But I'll be honest, Bill, so many great running backs in Alabama history, but there's only one Derrick Henry.
Kevin, always a pleasure to have you here, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Always an honor, my friend. And everybody, as always, have a great weekend and roll tide.